I want to thank the Lord for what he's doing and how he's progressing through this feast. And my Canadian brother here, I tease him as like my baby brother when he behaves, gives me this sheet last night, Malachi 3:3. So I remember looking at him before he left, because the Lord had said that, you know, we were to share this time together this morning. And now it's looking like afternoon. Malachi 3:3 says, he will sit as a refiner and purify of as a purifier of silver. Well, it's the Lord who will sit. And a lot of times we have understanding. And of course, Ron doesn't know what showed up a couple nights before. He has no clue. As far as I know, Peggy didn't tell him to bring this piece of paper.
I'm sure she did. No, I'm kidding.
Well, she called him, all right. So we can't even pick on her because now she shows up again, right?
I knew she did.
So, the word is very clear. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. So this verse puzzles some women in a Bible study, and they wondered what this statement meant about the character and nature of God. And we've been talking about how he acts and reacts, how we get upset with him because he does his thing. Okay? And I am included when I say we. It's not something that is just for the other guy. It's all of us. We all do this. Okay? So it puzzled the character of and the nature of God. And it irritated them in a sense that they kind of probably pondered. And one of the women offered to find out the process of refining silver and get back to the group at the next Bible study. Wouldn't you like to investigate? So, that week, the women called a silversmith and made an appointment to watch him at work. She didn't mention anything about the reason for her interest beyond her curiosity about the process of refining silver. As she watched the silversmith, he held a piece of silver over the fire and let it heat up. He explained that in refining silver, one needed to hold the silver in the middle of the fire, where the flames were hottest, as to burn away all the impurities. Am I going too fast?
No, I'm out there in Litchfield someplace.
The woman thought about God holding us in such a hot spot. Then she thought again about the verse that says, he sits as a refiner and purifier of silver. Where is Jesus today? Is he standing or?
Sitting.
All right. She asked the silversmith if it was true that he had to sit there in front of the fire the whole time the silver was being refined. You like this so far? Does it relate? The man answered that yes. He not only had to sit there holding the silver, but he had to keep his eyes on the silver the entire time it was in the fire. If the silver was left a moment too long, Don't you love this part? Mm-hmm. In the flames, it would be destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment. Then she asked the silversmith, "How do you know when the silver is fully refined?" He smiled at her and answered, "Oh, that's easy. When I see my image in it."
Same Holy Spirit was working last night, right?
If today you are feeling the heat of the fire, remember that God has his eyes on you and will keep watching you until he sees his image in you.
Thanks a lot.
Don't blame me, I didn't bring this. He did, all the way from Canada. Okay, man. It's time for you to put your two cents in.
No, I thought you were going to start.
I did.
Oh. And he finished.
I'm all done.
Well, that brought to me the question, what is the purpose of us being on this earth? We've all been saved. We've received salvation. We've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people are just content to go along with that. And today, when we look in most churches, the people are not really searching the face of God. Everybody wants the hand of God. Gimme, 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 gimme. I don't have enough. And then they wonder, how come God is not moving and he's not doing more for them? And yet, the word is quite clear. We are to seek God's face for a very, very specific purpose. And it was all stated in that letter. He has to create in us his very life. Yes, he has placed Christ Jesus in us. Galatians 2 tells us. But, yes, he is in us, but he is not able to fully manifest as he would like to. Because we have not as yet been fully transformed into his image and his likeness. And people think, well, I've got to help him. Got to help him. Well, you're going to help God? Sorry. He's the one that's got to be doing it. And that little message, when I got that, I mean, I just happened to fall on it yesterday afternoon after we got into the motel. I just looked at my briefcase. I didn't even know it was there. It's been there since 2008, I believe. The date is on the top, I think, on the message.
Yeah, 11th of April, 2008.
So it had been there, I'd read it, but I had completely forgotten about this. But with the things that the Lord has been showing me in the last 8 months, and when I read on that, this is what we've been going through. Because every now and then, in the church where I am, I'm not really used of the Lord to bring forth messages and stuff like that. But every now and then, he has me just bring in little nuggets here and there to get them kind of moving. Because the messages the Lord gives me most of the time, they wouldn't be able to take it. Because they're just not in that realm at all. They're still, well, how, like most of the people in the give me business, but also their
like most churches, they're in a mentality of sin consciousness and partly righteousness conscious, but they're totally between the two of them. So they're operating in a legalism mentality and a freedom mentality, not knowing that they're really, because they're going the side of the law too much, mm-hmm. that they're captive. And it brings forth a lot of mixture. And some of the things that come out, you know, is not too pretty. And I'm sitting there, Lord, what am I doing here? Why have you got me in this place? I've shared that with Kim many, many a time, because it gets me to question every now and then, what is the purpose that you've got me here? I'm not getting any of their stuff, because as I listen to it, I say, oof. But then every now and then, he allows me to kind of poke them a little bit and give them something new. And all, yes.
Well, you didn't tell them that I already told you what to do. You need to move to Chicopee, and it's not a problem.
Yeah, I know. You'd love that.
There's no self in that at all.
No.
Well, in a way, what he's saying, I've been wondering about that, because some of you don't know how my ordination came about to be done here in the U.S. rather than in my home in Canada. I had been seeking, but in Canada I would have had to go back to Bible college for 3 years and go through all the various laws and stuff like that. So one day I realized, Lord, if you really want me ordained as a minister, you're going to have to do it. So I'm asking you to close all the doors that no man can open, and open the one door that no man can shut. And I left it there, never spoke about it to anybody. I was the only one to know about this. Not even my wife even knew about it. This is, if God wants me there, he is going to do the working and get me there. And then lo and behold, one afternoon I get a call from this brother here. Is there you sitting down? Well, I can sit down if you want. So, apparently in the Tuesday evening service, the whole group it was a time when you had the canopy here.
Yes.
All the four corners. Yep. And apparently the whole group was underneath in there, but you were in the front. Until the Holy Spirit, in the form of an eagle, brought you back within the group, and apparently then the message came out.
Yeah.
I don't know who gave the message.
I don't remember.
Anyway, so he calls me the next morning. He says, are you sitting down? Well, I can sit down if you want. So he announced to me, and he tells me of the vision and the prophetic message. Oh, okay, now that's an answer. I didn't tell him them at that point. I says, but I realized to myself, whoa. The Lord is doing something, and he really wants to be there, because if he's getting to that, and then you get a call from Pastor Jay.
Yep.
What are you waiting for Ron and Claude? This is, whoa, a double whammy.
I wanted to pass the buck. Get somebody else to do it. Oh, I'll come and help you, Kim, no problem.
So anyway, that's when I said, well, that's all right. So after this last message that Pastor Jay, concerning what Pastor Jay had said and the prophecy, that's when I told him about what I had prayed to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I had given up on all of this whole thing. I just put it in the hands of the Lord. If you want it, it's all up to you. I'm not even going to put a hand on it. I'm not even going to speak about it. I had the application papers for Pinecrest Ministerial Fellowship in my briefcase. They're still there. And they had been there for 3 years.
That's what I was wondering about, 3 years.
Yeah. I never even filled them. I had started to bring them up, start to fill, but I said, no. I just put them back in the briefcase and left them there. So now he had to come to Canada because now I had a choice, be ordained through the House of Prayer or through Pastor Jay and Pinecrest Ministerial Fellowship. Mm-hmm. So I chose the House of Prayer. Why? Don't ask me, I haven't got a clue. That's the first words that came out of my mouth, and that's when it was done and decided. So he came to Canada, got me to fill the papers necessary for the ordination, and lo and behold, today is exactly 5 years and 5 days. You see? Two times grace.
Yeah.
A witness. I realized that on my way here to the service this morning. I stopped to think, hey, wait a minute. October 15th to October 20th is 5 days.
Yeah.
And 5 years because the ordination was 2011, October 15th.
Kind of cool.
So I said, wow, what a witness. And there's another thought in there. I don't know where it's going to lead, what's going to happen. Why did the Lord choose to have me ordained here in the U.S. rather than in my home country? There's got to be a purpose somewhere, but it's yet to be unveiled. I can't say, well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, because that would be me deciding something. So the Lord has going to have to show me and lead me to wherever it is that he wants. But there's another prophecy that was given me elsewhere and confirmed by, again, another American brother. I'm not going to be principally teaching or preaching necessarily, but I'm going to be writing. It was confirmed, and that's going back 2.5 years, and the Lord had me give up my post because I was on the board of a church in Canada, and now that's over because in the spring, I think it was February or March, the Lord began to speak to me, you have a decision to make. And when he said, I had a decision to make, us. Oh, it's today that I leave the board. Well, it's today that I announce. Well, you have to make the decision, but it's not today that you're announcing. Oh, okay. So I made the decision. All right, so I'm going to give up the post and let them know whenever you tell me. So the next board meeting, which happened about 2 months after, both two of us resigned on the same day. But it became official just this past, about 3 weeks, a month ago. That's when it became official because it was a changeover from, they weren't really a church. It was a something similar to the type of charter, like the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship.
Okay. It wasn't a corporate structure.
No.
Okay.
So now they're becoming a corporate structure through the province of Quebec because it's that kind of corporation is provincial, it's not federal.
Oh, okay.
So it became official, they got their papers. They're just waiting on the tax number from Canada because for the donations and stuff, for the receipting of that, it has to be federal and provincial. Mm-hmm. They got the federal and now they're getting the provincial within a matter of a week or so. But it became official that other people are taking my place, and so I'm free of that. And once I finish with the house, from what I know and what I have been receiving from the Lord, I'll be probably starting to write.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, yes. So it'll be interesting to know what he's doing, because I told the Lord, you're going to have to take the control of that, because my French is not all of that well as far as the grammar and the vocabulary and the English also, because I've lost a lot of it. So you're going to have to help me with the grammar and the vocabulary and the spelling and all that stuff, because I don't have anybody else to check my stuff when I write.
Just writing tongues.
Pardon me?
Writing tongues.
Yeah. In heavenly language, you're perfect.
Yeah, that's right. So it's all up to him as to what is going on, but
But isn't that the Lord sitting holding you over the fire?
Uh-huh. I realized that when I saw the message this morning. He's you're holding sitting, you. You're sitting on pinning needles. What's up next now? What's happening?
Well, the excitement for me is, you know, when I obey, because there's a price to pay when you obey.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Self is really exposed. You kind of confront who you really are. Mm-hmm. And then you watch the Lord hold you over that fire.
Yeah.
And, I mean, in my case, I really think I've been roasted on a few sides. I don't know if there's any other corners, but I'm sure he knows. You know, because again, you know, he's holding you. Your purpose, the ultimate goal was to form a people for himself.
That's right.
And forming a people for himself, when Irene and I went to Granby, mm-hmm. just a few weeks back when we were with my brother.
Yeah.
I remember entering the city from the opposite direction.
Opposite.
And when we came down by the little lake.
Oh, yeah.
In the beginning. Now, I've ministered in Canada over a number of years. And as I'm driving down that little hill, I see the bench that I sat on.
Oh.
And it's in the middle of the night, but there's night lights, you know.
Yeah.
And I said, God gave me revelations about that city right here.
Uh-huh.
I said I was sitting on that particular bench because it all came back. It's just zip, mm-hmm. you know, because when God wants to bring something back, he brings it back.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to go bug him, okay? But it was around 11 o'clock at night, so I behaved. I
didn't. I'm still up.
And the next morning, I wanted to go bug him, but it was raining so hard.
Oh, yeah.
It was like the times of Noah.
Mm.
So we didn't end up, but we did sleep within maybe 3 miles of his house.
Mm-hmm.
But God refines each of us. Everyone, if you start comparing yourself, you're going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to do it in a different way. Every single heart is different. Your background is different. Your foreground is different. The purposes of what he wants for you is different. And the preparations that he's given you, Ron, I believe it. I mean, I tease you about moving, of course. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that you're at the right place. I just don't know how he's going to manifest the next level for you.
Yeah.
But I also know that the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to bring forth.
He's absolutely the one fully in charge, because right now I wouldn't even know when to start or where to start or what to do.
But I know the lady sitting next to you, she has one of those little prodding sticks, you know. No, I'm teasing. She doesn't want the job.
I don't have it anyway.
Oh, he wouldn't give it up. See, he's got that little directive. Okay.
Yeah, the thing is that he's made me realize through all of this, and that's the one thing that the body of Christ has come to the understanding of, is they've got to let go. We've all got to let go and let him do whatever it is that he wants in us, to form us in his way, because he's made it clear when people will see the Lord in each one of us, they'll be drawn to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I mean, let's look at the great majority of the body of Christ. Can we see the Lord in most of these people?
No.
We see a lot of religion. We see a lot of people, well, I got to go do this. Well, I got to go do that. I got to do it this way. I got to do it that way. Where's the Lord in all this? He's not the one doing it. And yet, when we read the scriptures, we see it. The Lord does this. He did that. Even Jesus. I mean, it gets so plain. Every time I've come to that point, and he reminds me, he says it himself out of his own mouth in the Gospels. It is the Father who is in me. He is the one that is doing the works. He's the one even that's speaking. I only speak the words that he gives me to speak. and I do the works he shows me to do. The rest belongs to him. Mm-hmm. It's all the Father. And yet, you try and tell most Christians, take a good look at 2 Corinthians 5:19. And it tells us right there. Everybody was looking at the flesh and bone person that's standing in front of them, thinking he's the one doing the whole works. But the whole time, it's the Father that's in the Son. And 2 Corinthians 5:19 tells us it was God who was in Christ, and he is the one that was reconciling the world back unto himself. Mm-hmm. So we've got everything backwards. We don't realize we've been brought up to look at the person that's on the pulpit that given us the messages all of the time, when the whole time he is inside of us. And he's trying to get us to give up and let him manifest himself. Let him reveal himself to us if we'll only seek him, rather than seeking, oh, Lord, I want this, I want that, I'd like to have this. No. No. And lately, in the past couple of weeks, I realized something else. The Word of God says that promises were made to Abraham and to his seed.
Seed, correct.
Okay. I had never paid real close attention until the Lord put a light on the word seed. Is the seed singular or plural in that verse in the book of Romans, chapter
single.
3?
Single.
Mm-hmm. Singular. You go to Galatians chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 13 or 16. It says, and the promise was made to Abraham and to his seed as of one seed which is Christ.
Right.
And the promises are real to us only if we live in Christ and if Christ lives in us.
Uh-huh.
It's two-way.
Yes, combination.
John 15, what does it say? If you abide in me,
and I abide in you. The vine.
And the vine. We are only the branches, and the fruit grows on the branches if we abide in the vine, because the source is in the vine. It's not in us. It's in the vine. He is the source of all things. If we'll only learn to get quiet and wait on the Lord and move only when he tells us to move, or speak when only he tells us to speak, we wouldn't be in the mess that we are. Because then it's his way, his will is the only thing that would get accomplished. And he never misses. We do, because we're still in many, many ways too prompt and too in too much of a hurry to move and do things. And that's why we end up in all kinds of troubles. if we'll only learn to let him take over and let him bring us in the position where he wants us at any specific time when he decides, then there will be results. And it will not be anywhere near as hard on us as what it is when we try to do it on our own. See, that's why I capitulated about 5-6 years ago. This, you want this? You bring me there. I'm taking my hands off the whole thing. You take care of it. You do it. I'm just here to follow, and you just do whatever you want to do. And I made a prayer that day. At first, after I realized what I had just done, I had given permission to the Lord to do whatever it is that he wanted. I even went so far as to say that even if I start to scream and do all of the tempest things that you could realize that anyone could say in the flesh, as don't ever let go. Just go ahead and keep on doing what you have to do. Just go ahead and do it. I'm giving you that permission, and I'm not taking it back, and don't even let me take it back. I don't want it. You hold on. That's all there is to it. Because
enjoy the ride because you're going anyway.
You better believe it. It's been quite a ride. Because that's when the ordination came, which I thought, well, there's no way I'm going to get ordained in Canada. When I asked him to close all the doors, I knew because of certain laws that it wasn't going to be going that way. So, and I wasn't thinking about, you know, it opening here in the States. So
one of the challenges to what you're teaching is that we are surrounded by books and professional lecturers and speakers that we put on pedestals, and music and everything else.
That's
portraying a false image.
Yeah, that's right.
Even the music just today is you walk beside me. Mm-hmm. No, that's not where he wants to be.
No.
You know, because if you're walking beside me, if you're Christ and I'm walking here, it's still my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
Thanks for backing me up, you know, but I got this for now, and it's still my life and my will and my spirit, and my, you know, it's all me.
And my wants.
Yeah, and it's not Christ walking beside you.
No.
And yet, as we sing that, and we'll get a song in our head, and we'll be repeating that, and as you speak, so be it. Yeah. And you're speaking that again to yourself. Mm-hmm. It's not Christ in me, it's Christ beside me.
Yeah. Right.
And that, you know, messes us up, I think.
Mm-hmm. And see, this is why it's so important. The Lord told us in Romans chapter 12, be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Great.
Well, how do you renew it?
The washing Repentance. Of the word.
Through the washing of the word. And the word, take the words, don't say it in your own way. You take the word, it says, okay, there's one I've been using in the past month or two, and I use it maybe, I'll repeat it, maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 times in the same day. And right now, I'll tell you, I'm seeing results. And yet I haven't, my way of living, food and everything else hasn't changed. My the diabetic portion of it, it's going down.
Great.
I tested at 5.2 this morning, and yet I ate candy last night, plus a dessert, and normally I would go through the roof.
Yeah.
But here's the verse that I've been using. At first I didn't know, and I didn't realize even a little bit of what it entailed. In 1 John 4:16, I believe it is, it says, as Christ Jesus is, so am I in this world.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
He's not sick in this world.
That's right.
And then I started thinking, Lord, what is hidden in all of this? And all of a sudden started saying, am I sick? Oh no, we're not sick at all. And as the more I repeat this, I went from into 0.7, 7.3, 7.5, because your numbers here in the States are not the same as us.
Okay.
For us, 6 is the barrier where you're considered as normal without that. The minute you go above that, you end up in a type 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yours is 100 or so, I believe.
105?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, you're talking about
you multiply it by 18.
Sugar.
You're talking about blood sugar versus what they call hemoglobin
A1C.
Right. Yeah. Right. Here, 6 is about the standard loss.
Yeah.
Fasting blood sugar, you're also right.
But the numbers, I believe, our numbers multiplied by 18, it's about the scale that you use in the States.
That'd be pretty accurate, about 106.
Right? Yeah. So I was playing in the 7.3. That was a fairly regular for the past 3 or 4 years. And all of a sudden, in the past week and a half or so, I started to see it slowly going down, going down, and going down. This morning, this week, I think, there's only one day that I tested at 6.1. It was 5.9, 5.8, 5.7, this morning 5.2, and yet last night I ate candy plus another dessert.
No, I which you were going to blame Evelyn, but you can't because you're not home. I thought he was going to blame Evelyn, but he can't blame Evelyn. It's not Evelyn wasn't.
No, if it was left to her, the dessert wouldn't even exist in the house. So don't worry about her being the cause of that. I have no one. I got nobody else to blame but me. But that brings up another point. We're taught in many, many ways. Oh, if you want to get rid of this, well, you got to do this, and you got to do away with that, and do away with that. But it's all a form of legalism, in a way. Whereas that means you're not putting your faith in the Lord, that He is able to repair the damages that have been done in your body and keep you in health. So that verse there, as Christ Jesus is, so am I in this world.
Amen.
There's so much hidden in there, and as you keep proclaiming it, meditating on it, what does it do? It builds the very nature and life of Christ in us.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we'll learn to do this, it'll change, it'll transform us into his own image. And that's when the changes are going to come. He's the one that's going to bring them, it's not us. All we do is we work with him, doing what he said. What is Joshua chapter 1 verse 8? What does it say?
I'm not sure. Educate him.
That's God's instruction to Joshua before he's to lead the people.
Oh, God, to keep in the word day and night.
Day and night. Thou shalt meditate in this
the word.
Law.
Yeah.
Day and night.
Right.
Why? So that you may become able to do what is written therein. It's the meditation of the word. That means is muttering it, proclaiming it with your mouth, saying it continually, day and night. There is more in one verse of scripture. It always astounded me when I heard about a lot of Chinese people when they were, were not allowed to have any Bibles in there. Somebody smuggled some Bibles and they would divide a page. Sometimes some of them only had one verse. And some of these people would end up in prison. They would be in solitary confinement and one little cell with just a little slit on top. That's all the light that was allowed to come in that place. And yet these people knew more about the Lord than most Christians that have the whole Bible.
Yeah.
It kind of hit me. How did they do that, Lord? Well, they had that one verse and they proclaimed it, they meditated on it.
It became alive in them.
And it became life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if we only stop to realize that he is the Word. Mm-hmm. He is the living Word.
Made flesh.
That's right. He became flesh, but yet it's all that's written in there, that was his saying. That's what he proclaimed. And he's still proclaiming. If we'll only learn to work with him. Mm-hmm. Let him, in other words, by meditating, we take from there and he is able, because it's a food for us. Mm-hmm. And it is life. It brings us life. Mm-hmm. So by the same token, if we keep on still saying, well, I am this and I am that, then I guess there'll never be any change. We're just going along with the enemy and we're building death in us. Versus life.
Mm-hmm.
If so, that's the whole crux of the matter. And it's the only way we'll ever build the image of God, the likeness and the life of the Lord will ever be built in us.
But he's holding us.
Is holding us mm-hmm. in that fire and the word. Is the fire. Mm-hmm. He's building his image in us. It's not comfortable for the flesh, because the flesh wants to do this, flesh wants to do that, the flesh wants to get busy.
It wants a break.
Going here, going in there. And,
You're
just fighting against the end.
As much as I'd love to stay, I have to go home, eat, and go to work, so I just want to get up and walk out.
It's okay, Pete.
Before you leave, just bow your head, everyone. Yeah. Father, we just want to thank you now for what you've done and recognizing who we really are when we are in him. And we thank you, Father, to make that real to us. And don't let us off the hook. Hold us over the fire. Amen?
Amen.
With permission.
Amen.
God bless. Huh?
She has a couple of words.
Oh, you have a word? Okay, go ahead.
First one I saw was a sod house, you know, like the pioneers and hills.
Yeah.
They just had houses, a sod. And the other one was a palace. And he said to me, Jesus will live in it with you, whether you're in a sod house or you're in a palace.
Doesn't matter.
This house, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And the second one was, I saw a small cloud filled with water. And what he said was, no matter the size, the rain will fall where needed.
Amen.
Okay, I have prayer requests.
Okay.
Requests.
Okay.
Requests.
Okay.
Requests.